Yeah, so we're at the bottom of Chaf Yamud Bet 25b, and we, as I said, we've been talking a lot about Kal Vachomer, and we were just saying that we introduced this concept called Dio, which we spent a while talking about. We're not really going to talk about it much again, but it basically means that it's like a limit to a Kal Vachomer. It means that you can't take it, to its full length. And we talked about basically what we had spent time doing was try in the Gemara was to try and figure out when Dio applies and when it doesn't apply. And there are basically two approaches, either to say that it applies always, right, across the board, anytime you have a Kal Vachomer, it has to be limited by Dio, i.e. you can't go over and above the basically the Kal Vachomer falls apart if you're trying to learn beyond the origin. Or the Gemara was saying another suggestion that basically Dio would apply to limit it, or Dio would apply rather to undo a Kal Vachomer, to limit it but not to undo it. So for example, if you in some cases we were learning from one area of Tumah to another area of Tumah, and we were suggesting that maybe you should go from 7 to 14, 7 days to 14 days. So he said, no, there Dio kicks in. So Dio will say you can't jump from 7 to 14, you have to keep it limited to its origin. So there's Dio. But in a case where Dio would undermine the Kal Vachomer wouldn't even exist, right? So if we were to say Dio, then the whole connection wouldn't happen. So then we didn't go that far, and we basically spent time trying to find different opinions as to where that would apply, or who actually subscribed to that that notion. And I think we left off really there, and we're going to move. So we're still working within the realm of Kal Vachomer, but we're not really going to talk about Dio anymore. So we'll leave that to one side. And basically, what the Gemara is going to do now for a while is It's quite interesting, but I'm not sure. Well, it's quite difficult to do this. It's like an interesting, almost doctoral piece. Not quite doctoral, but it's an interesting piece more generally. But what the Gemara is going to do now is talk a lot about what we call Havaminas. So Havamina is where the Gemara suggests something, but then knocks it down. We say maybe the halacha should be like this, but then the Gemara concludes actually it's not like that. So we're going to do that a few times with different Kal Vachomers. What the Gemara is going to try and do is basically suggest a number of different Kal Vachomers, right? Maybe we should say this because, this law is stricter than that one, and therefore all the more so it should be like X or Y. And then the Gemara is going to say, no, actually we have a reason why that's not the case. And whenever you have that, whenever you have a Havamin in the Gemara suggests something and then knocks it down, there's always a big debate in the Rishonim as to what extent it's knocked down. Do we keep some of that in our mind? Is that just is the Gemara saying we reject it entirely, or is the Gemara saying there's elements of this that we're going to keep? I think maybe it's easier to see in practice than it is to see in theory. But that's just to a little bit of background as to what we're going to do for today. So we're right at four lines from the end of the Omad. Utahei Shein V'Regel. Okay? Yeah, so Utahei Shein V'Regel, Chayav B'Rishus Arabim, Mikal V'Chomer. So this is our first suggestion. Maybe Shein V'Regel should be liable in the Rishus Arabim from Mikal V'Chomer. Right? Classically, we've always said, and we're going to say in conclusion, that Shein V'Regel is exempt in Rishus Arabim. Right? Shein V'Regel, if your animal eats my food, then then you're liable if that's in Rishus Anizak, if that's in my property. But if it's if it's in the public domain, right? If I leave my bag of oats out in the middle of the road and your donkey comes along and eats the oats, I don't know if donkeys eat oats, but I'm assuming so. So if that's what happens, then you're not liable, right? Because that's in the public domain. I've left my bag of oats out in the middle of nowhere. But the Gemara suggests maybe it should be liable from a Kal Vachomer. What's the Kal Vachomer? Uma keren shebirushus hanizak einu mishalem elachati nezak. Keren, right, if your animal gores me, intentionally causing damage in my domain, in the Rishus HaNizak, in my back garden, your cow comes in and causes damage, right, then you're liable half damages. And what happens if it's in the public domain? Rishus HaRabim, Chayevus, in the public domain, it's also liable half damages, right? but it's only liable half damages in my property. Shein v'regel, says the Gemara, Shein v'regel, Shabir Shusanim Shalim Nezik Shalim. Shein v'regel in my property pays full damages. So what do you see? You see Shein v'regel must be stricter, right? If your animal gores, if your animal causes intentional damage, pays half damages. But if he comes in and eats my food, then he pays full damages in my garden. So we see, which one do we say, which one seems to be stricter? Shein v'regel, right? Eating or stepping on as we walk seems to be more strict. You're not so convinced.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that one's stricter. Einodin shabirushes rabim chayev. So the Gemara says maybe we should make a kal v'chomer that's clearly shein v'regel is stricter, and therefore the kal v'chomer is that it should even be liable in the rishus rabim in public domain. So Omar Karah, the Gemara responds and says no. We have a specific verse to exclude that. Uvier bisdei acher. It says bisdei acher. It specifically is specifying that it has to be a field, you know, a different field, someone else's field. makes it sound like it's a private domain, someone else's field, i.e. the Rosh Hashanah Nezak, and therefore, v'lo b'Rosh Hashanah Rabim, it doesn't apply in the public domain. Okay? So that's our suggestion number one. Fine. The Gemara is going to continue in that vein. Sorry, so it's a midi kulei ka'amrinan. Maybe the verse is not saying that you're completely exempt. What it's saying is midi kulei ka'amrinan. But yeah, okay, it's telling you you're exempt from full damage. But palga ka'amrinan, maybe it should be still liable half damages, just like Karen, right? If Karen, if you were to gore, if your animal was to, gore, cause intentional damage in the public domain, then you'd be liable half damages. So maybe we should say the same thing about Shein v'regel. So palga ka'amrinan. So Omar Kroa, we say, now quote a different verse. Fine. V'chotzu, I think it's v'chotzu es kaspo. Yeah, v'chotzu es kaspo. That you should halve its money, right? I.e. it's half damages. Kaspo shel zeh, v'lo kaspo shel acher. So it says es kaspo. So kaspo means its money. Makes it sound like it's limiting it. It doesn't just say v'chotzu es hakesef. It says v'chotzu es kaspo. It's like more specific. It's just saying in this particular case. Rashi says keren. That's what kaspo shel zeh means in that particular case. That's what it means. Okay, so we've thrown that one out. That was our initial suggestion, and we don't take it further than that. Maybe Shein v'regel should only be liable half damages. I thought that's what we just said before. Okay, let's see what's the difference, right? Unless I've missed. Okay, sorry. Velota he Shein v'regel chayeves. Birshus HaNizak Elachati Nezak. Maybe, oh sorry, this is talking about Birshus HaNizak now. So before we were saying maybe in Rishus HaRabim it should be liable half damages. So now we're suggesting maybe Shein v'regel should only be liable half damages in, sorry, this is our next Kal v'chomer. This is our next suggestion. So we're doing it the other way around. First we wanted to say Shein v'regel is the stricter one because it's liable full damages in the private domain, in the damaged person's property. Now we're flipping it around. We're saying, okay, maybe it should only be liable half damages because of Keren, which we'll see, right? Because of the goring. Relota hey Shein v'regel chayavis birshus anizak ella chatzi nezek should only be half damages. If your animal comes and eats my grain in my house, maybe it should only be liable half damages. Why? Mikal v'chomer mikeren. We're learning this kal v'chomer from Keren, from the goring. Uma Keren. If your animal comes and causes intentional damage, shebirushus arabim chayeves in the public domain, it's still going to be liable birshus anizak. And yet, in the private domain, eino mishalemes elo chatzi nezek, it still only pays half damages in my property. Shein v'regel. Now, Shein v'regel, shebirushus rabim patura, which is exempt in the public domain, i.e. seems to be more lenient, does not seem to be as strong as Karen, because Karen is liable in the public domain. Shein v'regel is exempt in the public domain. Einodin birshus anizak mishalim chatzi nezek. Maybe we should say that Shein v'regel in the private domain should also pay just or should be limited by Karen, just as Karen is only paying half damages, so Shane Varegel is only going to pay half damages. So again, we bring a verse to knock out this Kal Vachomer. Omar Kra, the verse suggests, Yishalem, right, this is the end of the pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, V'shilach es Be'iro, this is the pasuk that talks about Shane Varegel, Uvier B'sdeacher, and it causes damage in another field, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karmo, Yishalem. So that Yishalem is the last word of that pasuk, or that phrase. I think it's the last word in the actual pasuk itself. And Yishalem implies Tashlumin Ma'alya. Yishalem makes it sound like you pay full damages, right? It's a proper repayment. It's not this, you know, half chatzi nezek business. None of this half payment. Yishalem makes it sound like you're really paying properly, and therefore we have an explicit verse which doesn't allow us to learn this Kal Vachomer. Maybe important to point out, I guess obvious from what we're saying, but just important to note that there are different ways that we derive things. When I keep saying an explicit verse, it's not really an explicit, none of them are explicit verses, right? We're learning, we're sort of, you know, deriving from a verse, right? It's like a derivation from a verse. So that is clearly a stronger what we call midah shehatorah nidreshes bo, a stronger method of Torah Shabbat al peh, of you know, understanding halacha from than a Kal Vachomer. It's clear that deriving something from a verse carries more weight than a Kal Vachomer. A Kal Vachomer is a very interesting, is in many ways the weakest of the ways that we derive things from the Torah. It's the one that is very logical, and therefore it's quite, it can be quite open to suggestions, you know, to anyone. You can, in a sense, come up with a Kal Vachomer. We see examples. We saw that Moshe, for example, came up with his own Kal Vachomer. You know, it wasn't handed down from God. If you have, for example, a Gezeira Shava, a connection of words, then we wouldn't do that on our own. We would expect that to be part of a tradition, right? That someone has, that Hashem has said, this word connected to that word is a stronger tradition. Whereas Kal Vachomer is something you do derive on your own, but it has its limitations, right? It has its limitations. Number one, it's overcome by all these things. And we've talked about the other limitations. We've talked about Dio, the fact that it's also not going to be able to, it's going to be limited by all these other things. There's other limitations as well. You can't give punishments based on a Kal Vachomer, right? You can declare liability, but that's not a punishment, right? To make someone pay back is you can't give punishments based on a Kal Vachomer. And anyway, there's other limitations too. Okay, just worth mentioning. So we've suggested two Kal Vachomers, and we've knocked them both down. So we'll go another one. Number three. I don't know how many we have, but let's go onwards. Let's see at least one, two, three more, I think. Okay. Velotahei Karen. Still towards the top, about seven or eight lines down into 26a. Velotahei Karen Birushus Harabim Chayef. Maybe Karen should not be liable in the public domain, Mikal Vachomer. So we're still working within this Shane Varegel Karen dynamic, right? We're trying it from different angles. We've tried it from two different angles. Now we're coming at it from a third angle. Velotahei Karen, maybe an animal who gores in the public domain should not be liable. Why? Mikal Vachomer. Again, the same thing. Uma Shane Varegel, if your animal were to eat or to step on by mistake as it's walking, Shabirushus Hanizak in my property, Mishaling is Nezek Shalim, right? Shabirushus Hanizak Nezek Shalim in my property, it's paying full damages, and therefore it seems stricter than Karen. Why? Because, well, let's just see. Birushus Harabim Petura, this Shane Varegel, which is paying full damages in my property, is exempt in the street, in the public domain. Karen, which seems to be more lenient, why? Shabirushus Hanizak Chatzi Nezek. It's only paying half damages in my property, and therefore seems to be not quite as strong as Shein Varenga. Ein Odin Sheberishus Harabim Petura. Maybe we should say it's exempt entirely in the public domain, because Shein Varenga is the stronger one, and that's exempt. So Karen, which seems to be weaker, is going to be exempt altogether. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So now Rabbi Yochanan says, no, I have a different pasuk which knocks out this kavah chomer. Omar Kro Yechetzun. Yechetzun. So again, this is the same verse from the Chotzues Kaspo that we mentioned before, but it says Chotzues Kaspo Vegam Es Hamis Yechetzun. So you should also have the Vegam Es Hamis, right? The actual corpse. Yeah, carcass, that's the better word, thank you. Ein chatzinezek choluk, lo birshus harabim, velo birshus hayoches. The Gemara says we derive from here that chatzinezek cannot be split, right? Lo birshus harabim, velo birshus hayochid, i.e. it's both, basically. You have, because I think the word chatzi is repeated twice, it's chotzues kaspo, yechetzun. You have the double expression, means that it applies in both. You're liable chatzi nezek, this half damages, whether it's in the private domain, whether it's in the public domain, and therefore the kal v'chomer is knocked out once more. Okay, so that's those three were all linked to each other. They were really all the same thing. Keren, Shein, Varegel, we're comparing those, and we came at it from three different angles and tried to sort it out. Now we've got another kal v'chomer, suggested kal v'chomer, which is going to be different, from a different cases entirely. Vihi Odom, Vihe Odom. And we're going to get into, we haven't really talked much about the liability of a person at all, actually, in the Gemara. We've focused on animal liability, which is very different, very, very different. Vihei Adam, okay? So let's say a person, God forbid, kills someone, right? And this is intentional, right? It's a murderer. So Vihei Adam, murderer chayav bekofer mikal v'chomer. Maybe you should be liable for a penalty payment from a kal v'chomer. Why? Because... well, I call it a penalty payment. I shouldn't call it a penalty payment because you wouldn't be liable a penalty payment from kal v'chomer. Maybe it's just a regular payment. I wonder if anyone asked that, actually. Okay, I'm sure someone suggests that. Anyway, so kofer, yes, so maybe you should be liable this payment for killing someone. What payment is this? Umashor she'ein chayev, an animal, if my ox kills someone, very bad thing, right? Even, and again, we're assuming there's liability here, which there often is, but we're talking about in a case where the owner is considered to be liable. She'ein chayev, you're not liable, when my animal kills somebody, I'm not liable for four... not killing someone. We're talking about in damages, right? When your animal gores somebody but doesn't kill them, then you're only liable for nezek, but not in the other four things. What are the other four things? So there's basically five categories. Five categories of repayments that you have to do, or payments that you have to do if I were to damage someone. So if I cause another human being damage, break someone's arm, you know, whatever. I'm liable for breaking someone's arm. So I have to pay them nezek, which is the damages themselves, which is whatever. However that's calculated, we're not going to go into that for right now. But there's sort of a basic restitution of nezek, which is actually quite simple. But in addition to that, there are four other things we have to pay. You have to pay ripui, sheves, tsar, and boshes. Ripui is doctor's fees, right? You have to pay for the refuah. Sheves is time off work, right? You have to pay for the amount of what the loss in earnings, loss in income. Ripui sheves tsar is the amount of pain, right? There's a monetary amount that's put on the pain that it would cause. From memory, I think it's figured out by estimating how much someone would accept in order to go through that level of pain. Right? How much would the average person say, yeah, correct. If I were to say to you, I'll give you £10 million on condition that I can break your arm, would you say okay or not? I don't know. It must be quite a big amount. I don't know what's or at least for the pain part of it, right? Not for the anyway, yeah. Or for the pain part of it. tsar, and then boshes. Boshes is embarrassment, right? Again, also an estimate on what it feels like for the person to have to walk around, you know, with a cast or something, you know, or they're now limping as a result. Anyway, so those are the four things. And those you're liable for if a human causes damages. But if my animal causes damage, even if I'm liable, it's still on a lower level. So you don't pay those extra four. You pay nezek, there's a certain basic payment you pay, but not those extra four. And yet, if the animal kills someone, if my animal kills someone, then it's liable for kofer. Then there is a payment that I pay. So it seems to be stricter in a certain sense. More lenient. The shor, my animal goring, seems to be more lenient. Why? Because it only pays nezek. It doesn't pay these extra four categories that we just discussed. Odom shechayev be'arba dvarim. If a human being causes damage to another human being, then you do pay those extra four. You pay nezek and you pay the ripu sheves tzar and boshes. Those extra four. Ein odin sheyehi chayev be'kofer. All the more so, you should be liable if you kill someone to pay kofer. So Omar Kra. Therefore, we have a specific verse to exclude this kal v'chomer. Kechol asher yushas olav. Kechol asher yushas olav. And we derive from there that it's olav v'lo ala adam. Right? Specifically on the owners of the shor, of this animal that causes damages, but not on a person if they were to cause that same damage. I mean, to be honest, the whole area of murder is a very one that we haven't really talked about. There's very little. It ends up in one of these ironic situations, actually, which we've sort of touched on a little bit, that because it's such a severe thing, there's almost no payment that you can do in this world, right? In a sense, we're sort of quite limiting in what we give out as a bet din. Now, the Gemara is not talking about practical social measures, right? As we've said in the past, as a society, and you know, based in a Torah society, the based in would be the ones who would implement this. As a society, there are obviously extra things you can implement to, you know, for law and order. So, for example, you don't just let the person go off scot-free. But in technical Torah law, there's very little that happens. There's a death penalty, right? But if the person is not liable for the death penalty for whatever one reason or another, there's often reasons, you know, if they're not warned in advance, all those sorts of things.
Steinsaltz says here, inadvertent killing.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that.
His commentary, and let a person who inadvertently killed a liable. Kills another.
I have a note here that says the opposite, I think. Let's see if Rashi says anything, and then I'll just look in the note. So Rashi says, okay, so the question is this inadvertent killing or intentional killing? To be honest, even inadvertent killing is often the same sort of thing. Rashi says kagon b'mezid v'la'asur. Yeah, Rashi, that's interesting. He says that. Okay, to be honest, it could be it's both. But Rashi says as though it was intentional kagon b'mezid v'la'asru be, but he wasn't warned in advance. Right? If you're warned in advance, then you get the lesser bakartola v'lo bar golos. You don't get anyway. Okay.
What do the words yushat alav actually mean? What does that mean? Yushat alav.
It's a good question. I don't remember. Let's look it up. I think it's sort of. I think it's talking about.
The verse is in Kofe Yushat Alav.
Correct. They translate it as. Shall be assessed against him. Right? This payment is... and kofar is from the language of kapara, so it's like almost like a... like an atonement paying, you know, sort of a payment to atone for something. Okay. Or do you say yes? It's like an assessment. Fine. Okay, so that was our suggested kal. So yeah, so we suggested the kal v'chomer, and then we say olav makes it sound like it's specific to the owners of the or the owner of the animal, but not to a person causing damage to another person. Therefore, we throw that kal v'chomer out. So that was number four, right? We tried three from Karen Shane and Regal. Now we've got not a fourth one. Now we've got a fifth one. Vihei shor chayev. Now we're going to go the other way around. We're going to go backwards now on this one. Vihei shor chayev. Maybe an animal should be liable, but advar. Maybe he should be liable on those four things. Mikal v'chomer from a kal v'chomer uma odom. Just as a person, she'ina chayev b'kofer, when a person kills someone, whether maybe inadvertently, maybe on purpose without warning, whichever one it is, you're not liable kofer, you're not paying this penalty, this atonement payment, let's call it, chayev, you're still chayev ba'ar ba'advarim, he's still liable for the extra four things, Sure, shechayev b'kofer, an animal which is liable for this atonement payment. Ein adin shechayev b'arba dvarim. Maybe from a kal v'chomer, he should be liable for these extra four things in the case where he damages a human being. So Omar Kra, person, the verse says we're going to derive from the verse ve'ish ki yitain mum ba'amiso. The way the Gemara just uses the words ve'ish ba'amiso, but it's missing out a little bit of the pasuk. Ve'ish ki yitein mum ba'amiso, when a person causes a damage to their fellow, and ve'lo shor ba'amiso, right, which makes it sound like it's not an animal that does it. We're talking about specifically with a human that does these things. That liability is going to apply. Yeah. Okay, and that's not in that pasuk is not in Mishpatim like the rest of them are. Okay, so that was I think that's the end of our kal v'chomer. I mean, we're going to talk about other stuff that's obviously the Gemara is going to use this as a springboard to talk about things that we've discussed up until now. But those were our. So what did we have? We had five kal v'chomers. We had three to do with Karen, Shane, and Regel, and then we had two which discussed with from a person to an animal. It was interesting to me also, I'd be interested to see if anyone talks about it. We'll see if we can find somebody who discusses this. The last two kal v'chomers, there were two variables. It was like two things different. We're talking about from a person to an animal, but we're also talking about from killing to damage. It's like to me, that's like a double change. You know, when you have, when you do a science experiment, you're only allowed to have one variable. If you have two variables, then it sort of, you know, throws out the experiment. But so I wonder why. I would have thought that death is qualitatively different, or what that implies to me is that I don't want to read too much into the Gemara, but it seems to imply to me over here that from damage to death is more like a quantitative difference rather than a qualitative difference. I would have instinctively said it's a qualitative difference, but it almost makes it sound here like it's a quantitative difference. It's like a bit more. It's like, you know, instead of one limb, it's two limbs. So instead of two limbs, it's all limbs, or, you know, the entire person.
And
I wonder. Yeah. Because, well, when we're talking about kofer is kofer is a payment for death. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about the animal's only liable. I guess we did the same thing in the other case. We're talking about from Rishus HaNizik to Rishus HaRabim, and we're talking about Karen and Shane of Regel. So you need those two. You know, I guess that is the difference. No, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into that quantitative, qualitative element. Okay. Yeah, I guess you do need the two things here. Okay, anyway, so that was our so those are our kal v'chomer attempts. And again, we're not really going into the details of this, but there are Rishonim who talk about whether what we draw from these things. You know, the Gemara suggested five things which it knew were not true already. You know, why is the Gemara? What's the point of a Habamina? Always interesting to see them, and definitely things to derive from them, but unclear in conclusion what exactly we're taking from those things. The bottom line is we don't follow any of those suggestions that we saw in the Gemara. I'm just
hearing this bell ringing. I wonder if I know what's here.
I'm going to pause this because I think we've
been
for a long time for...
Poor fellow,
do you mind?
No, no.
Okay, we're back. So, we... Yeah, so we're right in the middle now. Right in the middle of Chaf Vav Omud Aleph 26a. Iboi Lehu. Gemara has a new question. Regel Shadarsa Al-Gabe Tinuk V'chotzer Anizak. And as always, and we have these... Gemara's, you know, Gemara's talking about in very theoretical terms. Sometimes you have to sort of shut out the difficulty of these cases, but important to understand, you know, to consider them. So, an animal accidentally steps on a baby, right? So shadarsa al gabi tinak bechotzer anizak. In the private domain, mahu tashalim kofer, and again, the baby dies. So, should it pay kofer? Mi omrinon. Do we say midi dehava a keren? Just as with keren, the Gemara is going to spell out why it's considering this. If you have a case of keren, then keren kiven de ovad tre utlos zimni urchei. Once it's done something two or three times, then we know that it's going to be liable, right? You're liable. We've talked about muad, right? Shor muad, tam versus muad. Umeshalim kofer, and therefore it's going to be liable kofer this atonement payment for killing. So hachinami, maybe the same thing should apply over here. Lo shnot, right? The same thing. There's no difference whether it's regel or keren muot, because again, this is not keren. Keren is where you gore something intentionally, right? Here, the animal has caused accidental damage while it's walking, so it falls more into the category of regel than it does into the category of keren. Okay. Yeah, okay, sorry. Well, I think the point is usually, yes. It's an unusual case because I think the reason it's using the baby example is because sometimes it's difficult to imagine it causing death without intending to, I think is the point. I think that's why it's come up with this scenario. Yes, you're right, it's definitely regular. Okay, definitely regular. So in a case of keren, it would need to be two or three times in order to be liable for kofer, right? Maybe we should say the same thing over here. Oh, Dilma, maybe we should say, no, Karen, Kavan, Osel, Hazik. When it does it, Karen, it's intending to cause damage. So, hi, Ain, Kavan, Osel, Hazik. Over here, it was the regel, it was accidental, so we don't know. Should it be liable kofer, or should the owners be liable kofer, or not? Toshima, let's bring a proof. Hichnis shor lechatzer balabayis shelo berchut. If I brought my animal into the chatzer balabayis, into this private domain, without permission, unogcho lebalabayis umeis, and it gored the owner of the house and killed him, then hashor beskila, then the animal is killed, right? It's liable for the death penalty. Uba'alov bein tam bein muad mishalem kofer shalem. The owners are liable to pay this atonement damage, whether it's a tam or whether it's a muad. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. That's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Kofer shalem betam lo Rabbi Tarfon minale. Where does Rabbi Tarfon get this idea of kofer betam, that it's still paying the payment even though it's a shartam? Lav mishum de sovar le Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Isn't it because he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Haglili? De Omar, who has the following opinion in a brisa. Tam mishalem chatzi kofer. Shartam, this regular cow on ox, animal that has never gored before, it only pays half kofer brishus arabim in the public domain, in the street. Umaisi lama kalvachomer miregel, and we learn that as a kalvachomer from regel. So I think this is our connection with before. We're trying to figure out kalvachomers to try and understand, particularly in the realm of keren, shein, regel, all these sorts of things. So it's not the broader kalvachomer of shein and regel and keren that we were trying before, but a more specific one. Umaisi lama kalvachomer miregel. He is learning this as a kalvachomer from regel. Why? Because regel is exempt in Rosh Hashanah and yet pays full damages in Chatzar and Nizak. So, therefore, if you're going to be so over here, what was it again? It was a Kavachomer, Umay Sodom, a Kavachomer, Mu Regel. Yeah, sorry, right, over here we're talking about Keren now, sorry, in this case, in our original question it was Regel, but over here we're talking about this now Shortam, so the Shortam is going to be, at the very least, Chayev in the public domain half damages. Why? Because Shein V'Regel, which is exempt in private domain, would be liable in public domain. So all the more so, the Shortam should be liable in the public domain. So Alma, what do we see from here? Ika Kofer V'Regel. We see there is such a thing as Kofer V'Regel, that you can have Kofer with regards to Regel, and therefore that's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, and that would be our conclusion for our question earlier, right? Kofer would still apply. Kofer would apply even though it was unintentional. Okay, so that was the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, basing himself on Rabbi Yossi Haglili, seemingly along the same lines of thought as Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Omer Rav Shimi Minaharda. Rav Shimi Minaharda disagrees, right? He's gonna push this off. Okay, he's gonna say that actually this is not such a good proof. Why? Tano Minizokin Deregel Maisira. Right? You're learning this from the damages caused by Regel, right? I.e. I think what he's saying is like a bit of circular logic. Yeah, what he's basically saying is you're trying to apply kofar on regel from a kalvachomer learnt from regel. So you end up a little bit of circular logic is basically what he's saying. They spell it out quite nicely in the Hebrew. I'll try and read it and translate it. This is just my extra note. So it says, "Ma regel." What you're basically trying to suggest is as follows: "Ma regel hakala shepturo." Regel is exempt in the public domain. This is for regular damage, not for killing, not for accidental killing, but for just for regular damage. It's exempt in the public domain, right? And yet it pays full damages in Chotzer and Nizak, in this private domain. And therefore, what we've tried to say from that is that Keren HaChomer, Keren, which is stricter and pays in the public domain, only pays half damages in the, pays half kofer in the public domain, should pay full damages in the public domain. And therefore, in the private domain. So Keren is paying half damages in the public domain, but when it kills, should be paying full damages in the private domain. And from there, we're coming back to explain what Regel, the fact that Regel is Chayav Kofer. But you've started from Regel. We've gone from proving Keren from Regel to then saying, well, if Keren's and then we've sort of ended up coming back to saying, well, Regel must be like this. So you can't. It's like the same, very circular. Your starting point and your end point are the same, except we've sort of jumped up in between. Does that make sense?
We're
trying to prove whether Regel is liable for this kofar payment, and we do it by bringing a kal v'chomer from Regel to Keren. So you can't say, well, Regel is the stricter one, and therefore we're learning to Keren. But then you end up coming back and applying the same thing to Regel. It's just not. It doesn't work. So the Gemara basically asks the question as follows: right? How can you? How can he even ask this question to begin with? Right? V'lifroch. Mala nizakin de regel shekain yeshnan be'esh. how exactly can we learn this? What we should ask the following question: Malan Nizok in the Regel, the payments from Regel, basically the liabilities of Regel, Shekin Yeshnon Be'esh, which are similar in a sense to, or they exist within the realm of Eish, right? And therefore is a little bit stricter. Mitomun, right? It's so it's Malan Nizok and Sheken Yeshnan Be'esh Mitomun. Let's see if Rashi explains this. Okay, Rashi says as follows. This is a Rashi about halfway down the page. Actually, let's do the one before. Yeah, we'll do the one literally just before. Minizok and Deregel Maisilo, the same thing. Ula Olam Leka Kofer Beregel. Must be there's no kofar with regards to regel. Why? V'hochi gomer Rabbi Tarfon, ma regel shabirshus. This is what Rabbi Tarfon had learnt. Ma regel shabirshus Rabin Potter, regel which is exempt in the public domain, mi nizokin birshus ha Potter mi nizokin birshus and nizak nezek sholem, but in the private domain, in the damaged person's property is liable full damages. Karen shabirshus Rabin, Karen which is which only pays half damages in public domain, in the street. Karabiyosi aglili ein adin shabirshus hanizak kofer sholem. All the more so, it should be paying in the private domain, in the damaged party's domain, full damages. Again, so that's the point, that we're learning it from Minizok and the Regel Maisilo. We're learning it from the original damages on Regel. But now we're basically suggesting that actually the whole thing sort of breaks down. Malin Nizok and Deregel, the whole issue of these damages, these Tashlum and Nezek of Regel, which are so strict in a certain sense because you're liable full damages in the damaged person's property, we have a similar thing with regards to Eish, right? Eish is also liable full damages in the damaged person's property. I think that's what the Rashi says. So Rashi says, Tomar b'kofer she'ena b'esh. There's no kofer with regards to esh. There's no payment. Apparently that's already a Gemara we've seen. I don't remember that. It says, Kidam rinom b'peret kama daf yud. So we saw that apparently on daf 10. I don't even have in this one, in this volume. But I guess we saw that earlier, that esh doesn't pay kofer damages. So yes, can yeshnon be'esh mitomun. Sorry, this is the mitomun. I think is the response mitomun. So Rashi explains mitomun. No, okay, that's because esh is specifically exempt from tomun, from something which is hidden. If your fire spreads into someone's field and they have something that's hidden, if they've hidden their entire fortune inside their haystack, right, then you're liable for what looks like a haystack, but you're not looking liable for the fact that this haystack was actually worth £10 million because they had all their bills inside of it. So that's tomun. That's a specific exemption from that. This is again not talking about aish. It's talking about unintentional. I don't know if it makes a difference whether it's intentional or not, but we're definitely talking about the very least where it's, you know, it's unintentional. It's just you set light a fire, you light your barbecue, you don't put it out, and then it spreads out. You're definitely liable, right? You should have been more responsible with the fire, but the fact that it spread into your friend's field and burnt all their grain, you definitely pay for that. But the fact that they had their fortune hidden inside, so that's a specific exemption of Tomun, and you're not liable for that. So Rashi explains mitomun shepoter be'esh. So the fact that you're exempt with regards to that for esh v'chayev beregel, yet with regel you would be. Oh, excuse me. You would be liable for tomun. So if you, for example, if an animal stepped on, stepped on your bag, right, and broke your I don't know, broke a glass inside which had acid in it, and the acid also went through all your fortune that's sitting in the bag. You know, you have, for some reason, you have a bottle of acid, and so the animal pays for the obvious damage. And sorry, there, regel, you pay for everything. There's no tomon over there, right? I just thought I was stepping on a bag, right, or a glass jar or something, and it was accidental. It doesn't matter. Whatever's hidden in there is hidden in there. You're paying the full thing. If you cause the damage, you're paying for everything. So it seems stricter, right? That's the point. That's the point that we're making over here. Regel is not necessarily weaker than Eish, because Eish has a weakness that Regel doesn't have. Regel is liable for Tomon when something is hidden, whereas Eish is exempt when it comes to something being hidden. So that's the response of the Gemara. It's not a great place to stop, actually, but I might have to stop there, and we'll come back afterwards. Would have been nice to get down to the... would have been nice. Let's start. Maybe we'll start again next time from Iboy Lahu. We'll start again from this question once more, and see if we go from there. Okay? We'll start again from Iboy Lahu.